Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I am Emily Jensen here with my sister-in-law, Laura Wiffler.
Hello.
And we are kind of picking back up in the middle of a serious conversation we were having in the last episode. So if you didn't catch that, definitely go back and listen for kind of a little bit of the background to today's conversation. Primarily, we were just talking about kind of like when mom gets angry or frustrated with her kids and how kind of sin impacts that and causes that, and then how the gospel gives us hope. So kind of when we left off last week, we were just getting ready to kind of start talking through our identity in Christ and how in Christ we are seen as fully righteous before God. And that frees us from having to label ourselves as the yelling mom or the angry mom or whatever kind of condemnation we put on ourselves, that isn't who we are in Christ, and we are free to repent and to just seek Christ and just live in that freedom and walk forward and fight sin. And so today's episode is going to be kind of talking about, well, what does that look like? Like, how do we fight, you know, practically kind of fight that sin? And Laura and I are happy we're talking through this because we need to know what these tools are.
Woo, Em, I feel like you just dove into the deep end like immediately. I mean, it's good. It's so good. But I was like, okay, got to catch up with Em. So I do have to just totally agree though with what you said about our labels and our identity. And, you know, it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. It seems like when we begin to say, well, I'm just the angry mom, you know, you kind of tell yourself that like a little Eeyore-ish. And it's funny how that begins to be, we begin to live out what we believe we are. And so, as Emily said, we don't want to be chained to that condemnation, but we want to remember that we are a child of the Most High God and that we serve the King of the universe that gives us all power and all ability to conquer that sin because of his death and resurrection. And so if you are feeling like you clicked on this episode because you're an angry mom, well, you know what? Like, that's not who you are anymore. You are a redeemed child of the King. And so sometimes I just need to hear that. Maybe you just need to hear that. But as Emily said, we are not perfect. We want to talk through these. We're sort of verbalizing, thought processing with you, hopefully, you other moms out there. And so we just hope that this is a helpful show with a lot of hope for you.
Yeah. And I think in that hope, again, talking about fighting sin, I was thinking about, you know, there's things that need to be right in our heart that we're always in process, right? Like, we're always trying to work it out. But if you are trying to, like, maybe you're on a diet, right? Like, it is not smart to have like chocolate chip cookies in your pantry or like Cheetos right there where you can grab them. Like, there are just some like common sense things that you just don't need that level of temptation in your life. Right. And so kind of what Laura and I are talking through today is like, you know, in terms of anger and frustration and motherhood, how can we like get the cookies out of the pantry so that
exactly.
You're not like standing there looking at them going, oh man, I'm going to break down. You know, like, what things can we do to set up in our lives so that maybe we are still working through some of these, I want to be in control. I want things to be according to my preferences. I want to be comfortable. Like, that's probably going to be a lifelong thing that we're working through. But in the meantime, how can we kind of protect ourselves from sinning against our children in our anger and learning to have that self-control? And so anyways, that's kind of the context of today. So to start out, we're just going to kind of go through some of the things that make Laura and I angry.
We are preaching to ourselves, you guys. So, and we do want to just say there is a righteous anger. So yes. Kids shouldn't disobey. Sin should bother us, but it's how we react to that. And sometimes I think we get angry often, at least I get angry, not even from sin in my children. It is 100% my own sin. So some things to look at if you feel like, oh, I'm getting ticked off all the time. So are there areas that you have not yet trained your children, but you should? This is a huge one. I think often, so for me, Emily, I don't know. I go to Target all the time. I feel like I live there. I don't know. And my kids, it was funny because once my daughter got big enough to like sit on her own in those huge, massive red carts in the, like the big double, you know, semi that you drive around in there. And, once she got big enough, she didn't want to sit still anymore. You know, she wanted to like, my kids want to lay underneath the cart, like legs spread. They're like, you know, knocking the pasta boxes off the aisle. Cause I'm just like this massive load. And for a while I sort of just let them because it just, my two kids, they kind of fed off each other and they were all over the place. And I was like, well, this is the best way I can get the shopping done. Cause otherwise she's just going to cry when I strap her in to the cart. But it became frustrating. The kids were falling off. Their fingers were getting rolled over. They were, just not being well behaved, honestly. And it was causing issues. They would fight. They both wanted the same, you know, to like pick off the same piece of gum on the bottom of the cart or something weird like that. And I realized like I would get so frustrated, but I had let them do this. I had laxed on the rules. I had not trained them how to sit in the cart and make that a priority. And so honestly, in the end, it was, how could I expect anything different? I would usually let them, but then when it got too crazy, I would sort of be like, ah, you guys all have to sit in a car, blah, 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 you know, and realizing that I needed to take time to train them, to talk them through those things, to prep them before we got to Target and talk about it afterwards when they did a good job or when they didn't do such a good job. So that's like a huge one, I think, where we don't train our children what our expectations are. We don't allow them to practice. We just like sort of flow around and then suddenly erupt in anger.
Yeah. And I think that this is one of the bigger ones for me.
Yeah.
And because I like to think of myself as like the laid back parent, you know, I'm like, I'm so cool. I'm so chill. Like, it's cool. You can do that to your brother. You know, like I'm just being patient here. But the reality is it's not patient. It's putting off what is going to need to be dealt with. So I think as a mom, I've learned I either deal with this now when it's a small thing and it's like pretty easy to train and correct, or it becomes a big thing and I freak out, and that's the only way to get it under control. And so that's exactly what Laura is saying, is to be proactive. And if we let our kids get out of control and we are not stepping in when it's still small, it's really easy to just lose it. And kind of related to that, I mean, these are all a little bit overlapping, but are we getting angry due to like a lack of like pre-planning on our part or organization, or like we're being overcommitted? An example of that Laura and I could both relate to is the other day, you know, I'm like trying to get out the door for an appointment, and realistically, in hindsight, I didn't leave enough time, right? And so whenever all of our kids go into like sloth mode, it's just so frustrating. And I was angry because they wouldn't get themselves into the car. But really, yeah, I should have left more time.
Yeah. Okay. And so another one is an expectation or a behavior that's too advanced for your child. So my simple, easy example of this is getting mad when my kids knock over their bowl of yogurt and it just goes everywhere all over the floor. You know, it's honestly, it's just a 2-year-old behavior. My daughter didn't do it out of trying to be defiant or disobedient. And so we don't want to get angry because our child literally is incapable of doing something that we expect.
And then another thing that can happen, is just you get frustrated because you feel like you have corrected a child. Maybe you have been keeping up with discipline, but you're still dealing with the same issue over and over again, because guess what? Your kids are sinners. And, I think that can be really frustrating. Especially when you feel like I've been working on this for like 2 years. I mean, I remember we went through a season with my twins where they were like not wanting to lay down and like go to sleep at night. And we literally for months, we were on them. I mean, like we did all the right things from a parenting perspective, and like nothing worked. And we would just get so frustrated. But one day they just went to sleep. And that was the end of it. We never had a problem with it ever again. But it can, in the meantime, that can be a real anger trigger when we just forget, like, this is just sin nature. And guess what? I have things I keep doing over and over and over again. And the Lord is so gracious.
Yes. And finally, we just want to be aware of some of those external causes. So a lot of these things are like, you know, issues that we haven't really dealt with our kids. But, you know, if you're exhausted, like you've not gotten a lot of sleep, you've got a newborn, you've got, you know, kids like Emily, where they're getting up out of bed all the time, in that example, or maybe you're super hormonal. Emily and I can both attest, we're both pregnant. And so we are just feeling the wacky hormones, or you're PMSing or whatever, you know, that's where we want to just be aware that those are not excuses. So just because you are PMSing, you are not allowed to be like, oh, I get to be mean and rude to everybody because my hormones are just going crazy. No, not an excuse. I have tried it many times. It doesn't work.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think that's one of those things too. We maybe mentioned this in our last show about saying, oh, I'm going to be different. Is this just going to stop on its own? Is when we are in those exhausted hormonal stages, because if you're having like maybe even several young little kids in a row, it's easy to just be like, okay, well, when it's not a newborn, when I'm done nursing, when I'm done. And it's like, wait a minute, it's been like 3 years and I haven't been done doing any of those things. So I think it's a legitimate thing to be aware of, like Laura said, but something that at some point we have to go, this though cannot be an excuse to sin against my children.
Yep. Unfortunately, these little years, I mean, we can come up with a lot of excuses, but not worth it. So, okay. So how do we fight this? So we've gone through identifying a lot of common triggers, and those are one way, eliminating many of those triggers, you know, figuring out what's setting me off. How can I plan ahead? How can I change things up in my daily life so that I am no longer dealing with that? But we talked about our kids are still sinners. We live in a fallen world. This is not perfection. So we're still going to be dealing with the issue of anger and impatience and frustration on a daily basis if you are a normal human being. So I hope that you all are. So all the stuff we said in show one, we're not going to go through and repeat it here, but all the stuff that we said last week about having a right perspective of what sin is and what grace is and who you are and you're standing before the throne, remind yourself of the truth of that gospel. So how do we do that? That's what we're going to get into.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So one thing, and this is really hard for me, is to just pray and to stop either in those moments or especially in the morning before I start my day. I think that is a big one that, you know, when I've done my Bible study or I've done my quiet time, to stop and pray through who I am, who God is, what Jesus did for me, and what that means for me today, especially focusing on, you know, my anger, my frustration. And I don't know, I feel like prayer is one of those things. As soon as I like stop and pray, it is like immediately admitting that I do not have it all together and I need God. And so I can be really stubborn in that. I need to grow in that. But that is a great way to fight sin.
And be specific. I mean, it's just so funny how sometimes we're like, oh, I need help, Lord, you know, but like be specific and say like, I get upset when this happens. God, please help me. I don't want to sin anymore because I know that's not who I am. I am a new creation in you. And how do we learn kind of what to pray or how to talk to God or, you know, how do we hear from God? It's amazing. We have this thing called the Bible, and God speaks to us through the Bible. And so get in God's word every single day, moms. I mean, this is so much more important than social media. It is so much more important than watching whatever show you're watching online that you feel super committed to and you don't miss an episode. Don't miss time in God's word. This is where you're going to learn who you are. And when we read the Bible, what we really want to do is learn about who God is. That's what the Bible tells us. So we don't open the Bible and say, ooh, what does this say about me? You know, how does this touch me and identify with my anger? What you're going to be doing, we hope that you do when you read the Bible, is that you look at the Bible and say, God, what does this say about you? What can I learn about you? And then how does that change me? Because I know this about you, how does that change me? And so I don't know about you, Emily, but I feel like once a day isn't even enough because I still, I'm still a sinner. And so I personally, I will just share with you guys, I'm starting to read the Bible again around 4 o'clock and read a short Psalm and just hit the reset button to go into the witching hour. So if you got to read it 6 times a day, I mean, keep that Bible open and don't be afraid. Don't feel like you're a one and done person because sin is not one and done.
So yeah, that kind of leads us into our next one of just remembering that part of our role as a mom and passing along the gospel is reminding our children that we need Jesus too, and confessing to them, mommy should not have talked to you that way, or mommy needs to be trusting God. This is something that God is working on in my heart. And it's just a wonderful example to them that Jesus and the gospel are powerful. They're powerful for mommy and they're powerful for our children too. So it's just a great way to
kind of stop you in your tracks.
Exactly. Oh man, it is very humbling, but it also is, it's a very beautiful picture, as you're saying. And finally, one of the things we want to talk about is just community and accountability with anger. I think anger is one of those things we don't really like admitting to each other, or like even believing that another mom struggles with. It's kind of one of those things where, you know, you have this like perfect mom friend and you just can't even imagine her getting upset. So why would you ever like confess that that's a struggle? But it happens to everyone. And all that stuff that we talked about grace and sin and all of that, that liberates you from any pretenses of trying to wear a mask with your friends. And so we hope that even by Emily and I's example of sharing, because you guys, we've been talking about doing this show for like 6 or 8 months and have not even gotten the courage to really speak about it because we feel so behind in this area. But we hope that this is an example to you of being able to confess and be very honest about where we struggle, because there is power in that. God, in his beautiful plan, has created a way for us to be able to encourage one another as we admit sin and confess it. And then we begin to move beyond just saying, oh yeah, I get so angry too. And like, that sets me off too. And oh, I totally get it. You're so normal. But let's move beyond that to saying, hey, me too. But what are we going to do about that? You know, like how can we stop being like this? Let's not fester and wallow in that sin, but instead let's move beyond it with the hope that Jesus Christ brings to us and pray for one another and with each other.
And again, even if you aren't like struggling maybe with this right now, let's say you're like, okay, I just really don't understand this, but your friend comes to you and is like kind of jokingly like, bah, I kind of had a bad day with my kids again. I, you know, wasn't really patient with them. Like, I think, how can we respond graciously, remembering that we shouldn't like condemn other people or make them feel like shame for this, because that just puts somebody into a hole, you know? We had this Milton Vincent quote in our notes, and I think we shared this gospel primer book before, but with the worst facts about me exposed to the view of others, I find myself feeling I truly have nothing left to hide. And it's true. There is no sin that has not been paid for in your life, in your friend's life. And because of that, we can be free to share in community.
Amen. I love that. And I feel like there has been just so much good fruit in my life when I feel like I have admitted things to close friends and been able to be held accountable and to grow and improve. And so we hope that this show has been an encouragement to you. And, you know, I know we just barely scratched the surface of probably some of those things you can do, but the biggest thing, if we can press it on you, is to get in God's word, moms, to become biblically literate and reading the truth of the gospel, just letting it wash over you and encourage you, and just admit that weakness, because God's light will shine the brightest against that really bleak and dark backdrop of your sin. And so that is where he shows up. And there is a beauty in the gospel when you admit that you are a weak mom in need of a savior, yet you continue to serve and love your family well. That is the gospel right there. So go forth today and try to make changes in your day if you're struggling with this. So
yeah. And we'll try to have some more resources as well on our show notes. So you can find those at risenmotherhood.com. And again, you can find us across all social media platforms. Well, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Only three.
The ones we're on at Risen Motherhood. And if you've enjoyed this show, you're enjoying listening to Risen Motherhood, it would mean a lot to us if you would leave a rating, a review on iTunes. So thanks for joining us.